central winter, I serpain. I sleep in jingling in each pain. Frozen chasms chill my heart, and quiet echoes of disdain. The sun stir up memories, shivering in my mind. A love is waiting for the spring, a comfort is so hard to find. But will spring come, it must, the thoughtless ice is shroud. The rest my very soul is so tired that it seems endowed. With satanic strength determined, I do frustrate my plea. That there is an angel somewhere coming soon to set me free. Set me free.
I'm Glenn Parfitt, sitting this week for Susan Woods. This is Remember When, and my guest today is Reed Hudson. And we'd love to hear from you with questions or stories. If you've got any for us, give us a call at 386-1161 or on your cell at star 1070. Reed, we went in and out of the first set with a couple of tunes that influenced you in a big way. We started the show with Louie Louie by the Kingsmen and ended it with The Witch by the Sonics. Out of Seattle. Those were songs that influenced you growing up?
Just great. Loose Soul, Kingsmen, Raw, three chords, that's important when you're starting out, three chords. But the Sonics, I think, is even better at two chords.
There you go. Yeah, because the Northwest Sound, that's the thing that was such a big deal for a lot of people, and even nationally and internationally became quite the thing to listen to. So we're finished off our last segment at July 1st, 1967, talking about the Centennial Battle of the Bands at Centennial Square in 1967. And after that Battle of the Bands, actually, we'll back up, the winner of the Battle of the Bands that day was a band called Blues by Five. And later on that month in July, they were scheduled to play at the Memorial Arena, opening for a new band that had come up out of L.A. called The Doors. Now, just after July 1st and before The Doors came, the bass player in the band at the time, John Fisher, chose another creative path, and Reed got the call. What was that like for you, man?
It was great. It was intriguing. I always enjoyed Blues by Five, and so it was a real compliment, basically, to be asked to join that group. And I love them. Love the people in the band. They're great players. Of course, Dickie Moore at the time, or Richard Moore, as he's known, went on to play with the Trogs. Another great three-chord song, The Wild Thing they had. No, it was terrific.
And do you have any memories of Jim Morrison and the Doors themselves, meeting them or talking to them backstage or anything like that?
Well, no, we saw them backstage, but they were an LA band, so I think we were sort of kind of wary about it. And Jim Morrison was laid out on one of the benches in those hockey dressing rooms, and I was told later that he was quite inebriated, and that made sense. But very dramatic when they came out on stage. The other three started were playing in there, but Jim Morrison's nowhere to be found. And then all of a sudden, there's a spotlight, and there's his head looking out from under or from behind an amplifier. And so then it started, and they were great. They really were great.
So for you, playing on the big stage in the big arena with a band like that, you must have felt like you'd really hit the big time.
King of the heap, yeah. Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick call. We've got Kathy from Victoria calling in. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Glenn. It's Kathy Turner calling.
Hey, Kathy. Hi. Thanks for calling.
What memories this is bringing up. I was actually down at Centennial Square for the Battle of the Bands. And I took a bunch of pictures, and I've actually forwarded them on, I guess, a few years ago to one of the bands that I had taken the pictures of.
Well, hopefully those are one of the ones that we've all received at the Royal City Music Project website. But what was your impression of it, like, Kathy, being there with all those people?
Oh, wow. It was exciting. It was exhilarating. It was kids simply out having fun, enjoying music.
Yeah, and certainly that was the tone of the day. Well, Kathy, we're going to put your name in the draw for these tickets for the Hall of Fame celebration on Sunday the 17th. I'll put you on hold, and our producer, Corey, will take out your information. And, Kathy, thanks so much for phoning. It's great to have you as a regular when I'm on the show here.
Thanks. Glenn.
Okay, appreciate it. And that's Kathy Turner. For those who don't know Kathy, her father, Ian Turner, owned a little place down on Richmond Avenue called Ian's Coffee Shop. I'm sure that rings a memory or two for some people. We'll go back to Reed here. You're in Blues by Five. You play the Memorial Arena. You're at the top of the heap. You're in the number one band in town. You're doing it all, and then things change, as they do, and you embark on another project called As Sheriff.
That's correct, yeah. Ed Simpson, Bakey, Andy Godon, guitar player. Our first drummer was, as I recall, Mark, and I can't, his name escapes me, but we had Harry Creech for a drummer at one time, mm-hmm. and he was great. That was my favorite incarnation of the band. When Harry was drumming, Harry Creech being a unique character, as you know, Glenn.
Yep, great guy, actually, awesome guy. And then you were playing with the band and then moving along, and all of a sudden, it was time to make a change. But not a little change, a big change. Tell us what that was all about.
That's right. There were a few of us had been talking about what we were going to do, and it was decided that... I forget exactly who it was, but somebody said, hey, let's go to England, because it seemed like all the happening music at the time, to us anyway, the music that we enjoyed was happening over there. So my brother Frank and Jim Black ended up going over there first and scouting the place out, and I followed a few months later.
So this would have been in the 70s, I would guess, early 70s? Late 60s?
No, actually it was 69.
69, so late
60s. That's correct, yeah.
So you're in England... In the late 60s, what an experience. And, of course, the Beatles are still together at that time. There's all sorts of things going on. Now, while you're over there, you end up forming a band. Tell us how that all came to be, and tell us about who you formed the band with.
Well, Jim had hooked up with a drummer called Tony Newman, who was a famous session drummer in England at the time, and he played with a group called Sounds Incorporated that did the first tour of the North America with the Beatles, first world tour, actually. He also was on Jeff Beck's album, Beckola, and was looking to get something together, and Jim auditioned for him, and that's what happened. Now, at the time, they already had a bass player. His name was Terry Poole. But he had something else he was doing, and so they had a spot, so I went out and tried out, and there it was. I was in the band.
Just like that. Now, yeah. We came into the into our last break with an actual song from the band, May Blitz.
That's right. It's called Impart. I brought that along because there's all sorts of information out there on the internet about what this band was. It was a power rock trio, and yeah, we could rock out pretty hard, with the best of them. We have comparisons to Cream and so on and so forth, but that was a track I chose because it's from the second album. I chose it because there's a lot of different influences on that record, and you can see that we started out with drums, bass, and Jamie Black playing flute, so, and we go from there, so definitely not your heavy rock trio kind of format at that time.
Certainly, but still pretty exciting nonetheless. Now, so you did recording with the band, you did a couple albums. Tell us about the studio sessions, what it was like, producers, that sort of thing.
Well, we recorded the first album in Trident Studios in London, Wardour Street, I believe it was. And we produced it by ourselves, and it's got a raw sound. The second album, The Second of May, original title, was produced by a guy called John Anthony. We had a producer before him, but he had something else going on with a guy called Mark Bolan and T-Rex. And that song that he was playing as the bass lines to in the studio, and the second one being at Air Studios, which was George Martin's studio, was the bass line to Bang a Gong. And so he went with that, and we ended up with John Anthony producing our second one. So we have a real different sound on the second one, and a lot of different directions. I think the second CD was one where we were going into a lot of different influences that we could do, and it was a great experience.
Pretty neat. And the scene over in the UK at the time. Now, you we talked about what you were doing individually, but you know, you'd be finishing the studio and you would go out and have a look around and see what other guys were doing and just other musicians. What sort of things did you see and people you bump into just when you were there?
All sorts of stuff. We saw Dr. John, saw him, of course, Jeff Beck. We played, it was more on what we were doing because we were pretty busy. We were playing colleges, clubs, Marquee Club, Famous Club, even the Stones played there, Speakeasy Club after hours. We played Mother's Club in Birmingham with Yes. All those bands back then, we ended up on a bill with at some point.
So you got to work with some pretty cool people.
Great bands.
Yeah.
That was great. Got in for free.
The best part about it, you know it. Well, we're going to go to a break here a sec, and we're going to play another May Blitz song, keeping in mind that we are looking for people to come give us a phone call and share some memories with us. We'd love to hear from you. If you got questions or stories, give us a call after the break. We're at 386-1161, and anybody who calls in today will be entered into the draw for two tickets to the Victoria Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame celebration Sunday, September 17th at Darcy's Pub. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to go out of this break with some more May Blitz.
Imagine.